You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer, it is a critical drinking water source for southern and eastern Idaho. In fact, more than 300,000 Idahoans rely on the natural underground storage to provide clean, safe water every single day. But due to a combination of farming and agricultural practices in the Magic Valley, that water source, it is in danger of contamination. Back in September, I was able to talk with Josh Johnson with the Idaho Conservation League. This is the group that reported the danger of this aquifer. So I started that conversation by asking him who exactly the people are who rely on that ground aquifer.
So as you mentioned, the groundwater in the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer provides drinking water for over 300,000 Idahoans. So that could be anyone who has a private well in the Magic Valley, or anyone that gets their water from a public drinking water source. Those municipalities often get their water from the aquifer.
So then talk to us about the different types of agricultural practices that you're talking about. I mean, what kind of farms could potentially be contributing to this possible contamination?
Sure. So the contamination we're talking about is primarily due to nitrogen and phosphorus. And these are essential fertilizers for the landscape. You know, if you're going to grow crops, you need nitrogen and phosphorus. But if there's excess amounts of those two things, then it can leach into the water and cause pollution issues. So pretty much every farm will have nitrogen and phosphorus on it. It's all a matter of, is it being used in excess? And then concentrated animal feeding operations, such as large dairies, which are prevalent in the Magic Valley, the manure from the animals on those operations produce a lot of nitrogen and phosphorus as well.
Let's talk a little bit more about nitrate and phosphorus, because these were the two areas that you looked at in the study. So can we start with nitrate? Because can you dive a little bit deeper into where the nitrate would be coming from? I mean, were you able to kind of pinpoint an actual source?
Sure. So nitrate is a longstanding problem in the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer. You know, we issued our first report last year, but this problem definitely did not start last year. It's been around and growing steadily for, you know, 20 years now. But as we see with the nitrate problem, it does come from those fertilizers that are put on farm fields and coming from the animal waste. And we see it crop up throughout the aquifer, but especially high levels in Twin Falls, Minidoka, and Cache counties. Those areas, the aquifer is shallower and there's less mixing with the deep, cleaner groundwater and a higher prevalence of the shallow, dirtier groundwater.
Can you talk a little bit, Josh, about where you got the data, where it came from, and how does it support your study's claim that things are actually getting worse?
Sure. So we looked at all of the publicly available data across the Magic Valley. And so this comes from a variety of different state and federal agencies, most notably the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, Department of Water Resources, and the State Department of Agriculture. And for nitrate, at least, that data goes back until 2001. For phosphorus, our data goes back to 2011. And so it took some effort to compile all of that data, but we're hoping one of the outcomes of the study is that we get that data available to the public in an easier to understand and digest way.
So why would a high nitrate level be a concern to people who rely on this aquifer for drinking water?
Sure. So nitrate is a well-known human health risk. Part of that risk that has been known for the longest is something called blue baby syndrome, which can affect infants less than 6 months old. And so the current federal and state drinking water standard is tied to that prevalence of blue baby syndrome. But then there's also increasing evidence from more recent medical research that there are potentially chronic long-term effects of drinking water with nitrate your whole life, for example.
So for folks who may not have heard of blue baby syndrome, what it is, it's basically a baby's skin almost looks blue because they have a decreased amount of hemoglobin in their bloodstream. And this is one of those things that you've seen, correct, Josh? But my question is, have we seen that in Idaho, or is that something that, you know, could happen, or has it? Have we seen cases of that?
So yeah, there's not a ton of very good health data on that we were able to find thus far. I think there's a couple isolated cases from a ways back, but we're more kind of looking into the future here and seeing the trajectory that the current nitrate concentrations are on, and anticipating that down the road, we might start seeing some more problems with this. And then some of those other chronic effects, those are things that, you know, aren't so specific to nitrate that it's hard to tell how much influence the groundwater is having in terms of the prevalence of those health risks.
So let's turn to phosphorus, because that was the other area you looked at. Is it coming from the same sources as the nitrate?
Yep, same sources, mostly excess fertilizers on farm fields, and excess animal manure also being put on farm fields and at large dairies. The difference between nitrogen and phosphorus is that nitrate wants to leach into the groundwater, if you will. Just chemically, it doesn't bond well to the soils, and it's not surprising to see, you know, higher nitrate concentrations in this area, but phosphorus tends to bind to the soils. So when we've been seeing elevated concentrations of phosphorus, that's a little bit more unexpected.
So then what are the public health or environmental issues that would come with a high level of phosphorus?
So phosphorus is a little bit different than nitrate in that having phosphorus alone in your drinking water isn't known to be a human health risk. But what we do know in this Snake Plain is that all of the water within the aquifer eventually ends up in the Snake River, coming out through the various springs along the Snake. And we have a well-known phosphorus problem in the surface water in the Snake River that contributes to harmful algal outbreaks, for example, nuisance aquatic plant growth. And so any phosphorus that is increasing in the aquifer will exacerbate the situation in the surface water in the Snake River.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Josh Johnson with the Idaho Conservation League, talking about their new report on worsening groundwater quality in southern Idaho. So Josh, when we started the conversation, you mentioned the dairy industry potentially being a contributing factor from an agricultural standpoint. What has their response been to this issue? And what do you hope to see change with some of their practices?
So water quality is an issue that affects everyone. So we all have a responsibility to keep it clean, you know, whether you're putting fertilizer on your front lawn or you operate a 10,000 cow dairy. And so when it comes to the dairies, it's a fact that we have 425,000 dairy cows here in the Magic Valley that produce approximately 50 million pounds of dairy waste every day. And that dairy waste contains nitrogen and phosphorus in it. And it's just a very difficult logistical problem, if you will, to be able to manage that manure in a way that it doesn't provide excess nitrogen and phosphorus to the aquifer. You know, so we have had conversations with the dairy industry, obviously, about it, and we hope to continue having productive conversations with them in this respect. And I think one of the areas that there's some interest in are methane digesters, which on its own don't reduce nutrients, but it kind of puts the dairies down a path of being able to manage their manure more effectively and potentially extract the nutrients, the nitrogen and phosphorus that cause pollution from that manure.
Do you know what the cost would be for something like that?
So yes, digesters are definitely expensive. There's only a handful here in Idaho. In other states where they are more widely used, say Minnesota, for example, there are state incentive programs that help cover that upfront cost. But in the long term, once you get past that initial capital investment, they can have benefits and essentially pay themselves off over time because of the energy that they're producing from extracting the methane. But again, just having a digester, it only extracts the methane. You still have the nitrogen, phosphorus, and the manure, and then you would need to take it a second step to remove those nutrients.
And what would that second step be then?
So this is still kind of emerging technology, and I think it's one of the things that we're hoping to see come out of the research dollars being put in by University of Idaho and others here in the Magic Valley for dairy research. One of the more promising ideas is to take the manure that is left after you get the methane out and create basically fertilizer pellets out of it, you know, that started mm-hmm. kind of coming full circle, waste to wealth, so to speak.
So you mentioned the state of Minnesota. I'm curious if there are other examples, maybe in Minnesota or in other parts of the country, where dairies took these steps. And if so, is there any evidence that the nitrate levels in the water went down?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this type of pollution that we're seeing here in the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer is definitely not unique to Idaho. It's pretty common in agricultural areas across the country, whether it's in Eastern Washington or in Minnesota or Iowa. In different states, you know, have different layers of regulations and responsibilities associated with that. It's hard to say exactly how well some of those efforts are working. On the whole, certain states have been able to contain their nitrate problem more, but since it's generally a mix in these areas between dairies and between agricultural field runoff, it's often hard to parse the contributions from the two apart in such a way to know, you know, say definitively that one thing that has been done on a dairy has made the difference. But what we do know is we need kind of collective action from everyone involved to solve this problem.
From a crop farming standpoint, and these crop farmers who use fertilizers, are there affordable solutions for them to mitigate the risk of nitrates or phosphorus contamination?
There are. And I think in contrast to the dairy issue, which is still relying on some kind of emergent technologies, what's going on in the agricultural world is something that is pretty well known. So certain practices such as no-till farming and planting cover crops, things like that, that's been around for a while. And in other areas of the country, there's more widespread adoption than there is currently in the Magic Valley, but we're getting there. We have seen farms take on some of these practices and realize that not only do they have benefits to the environment, but they also can have real tangible economic benefits to the farmers themselves.
What do you think needs to be done from a regulation standpoint?
Yeah, so there's a few things that we outline in the report in terms of next steps. And I think the first one is to just better characterize and publicize the problem. And that's part of what we're doing with this report and, you know, going on this show to talk about it. But in terms of what the state can do there, having a more widespread monitoring well network and having that sort of database where if you have a private well outside of Twin Falls, you can go on a website and see where your well is in terms of concentrations of nitrate and phosphorus compared to others around you and if you should be concerned or not. Number two, it would be really helpful to have more effective and transparent management of that animal waste. So some of that has to do with regulations that prevent the nutrient management plans at those dairies from being public information. So without having that information, it's very hard to do an accounting of what's going on there. And lastly, one other thing that the state and others can do is to help incentivize those best management practices on agricultural fields that I talked about earlier.
And that was my September conversation with Idaho Conservation League's Josh Johnson about the contamination of the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer. I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters coming up next.